Our reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. One year, when I was an undergraduate in college, I burned my economics book. Well, part of it, anyway. You see, this winter storm hit the South, and I was without power for several hours. It was getting cold, and probably more relevant to what happened, it was getting boring. I couldn't get out. The roads were icy, everyone was probably without power, and so I started to consider what I could do to remedy being cold and bored. And that economics book from the quarter before was just sitting there asking for it. I had hated that class, and to add insult to injury, the bookstore wouldn't even buy the book back when it was done. So it seemed like a good enough reason to light it on fire to me. So I found some of those pages with those charts that never made any good sense to me, and I tore them out and I gleefully watched them burn. Now, maybe some of you did not have the same experience with economics if you ever took an economics class, but I'm sure that each and every one of us has had a similar experience with some field of study or topic or book or lesson that we were trying to learn. We just didn't get it, or it didn't seem relevant to us. Or maybe we did, in fact, get it. Maybe it was, in fact, relevant. We just didn't like the implications that it had for us and for our lives. And sometimes the things that we read in the Bible can very much be that way, right? Sometimes what we read in the Bible doesn't make sense at first reading or second reading or 15th reading. And sometimes it makes sense all right, but we just don't want to think too closely about what it might mean for us and our lives. During the month of August, Pastor Arthur, Pastor Reed, and I are going to look at some of these sorts of lessons as found in the Gospel of Luke. Sometimes they will be hard to understand lessons. Sometimes they will be hard to live out lessons. Often they will be both. But the thing about these lessons is this: if we would hear and live these lessons, they would take us to the next level in our faith. So today's lesson is about, well, it's about economics. The man approaches Jesus one day, and he asks him, as a rabbi, he asks him to bring his wisdom about the laws of inheritance to bear right down upon his brother's head, who is not properly sharing their father's estate with him. This is not a completely out of the norm request to be made of rabbis, but Jesus is having none of it. It isn't so much that Jesus thinks this request is beneath him or it's unworthy of his time, but we can glean from the parable that Jesus then turns and tells what the problem is. Jesus can see that this is not just an estate question, but this is a situation where money has become a distraction from what is important. You see, in the parable about the man who has hit a harvest jackpot and who wants to raise his existing barns to build bigger ones that can hold all that he gathers, Jesus says that God declares this man to be a fool. The Greek word that is translated here as fool comes from words that mean without perspective. In particular, lacking perspective because of being short-sighted. The rich man in the parable lacked proper perspective. He did not thank God for what he had been blessed with, and he did not consider what he could do to bless others with what he had been blessed with. And if this was the condition of the man in the parable, it was very likely the condition of the man that stood before Jesus that day. And what makes this a hard lesson for us is that what the man in the parable is contemplating actually sounds pretty prudent. Who among us, when we come upon a windfall in life, does not think to put away at least part of it for the proverbial rainy day we know will come? The Bible itself tells stories like this. The Old Testament, for instance, tells a powerful story about learning to be prepared. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph was given an interpretation of a dream that foretold years of famine. And so what did Joseph do wisely? Under the Pharaoh's instruction, he helped store up during years of plenty that preceded the famine so that the people would not starve during that famine. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, that's right. He was storing up so that the people would not starve. Not just the Pharaoh and his family and maybe Joseph because he'd done a good job. He was storing up so the people would not starve. It's a little different than the story in this parable. And that's what makes the lesson in this so hard, because it calls upon those who hear it. It called upon the man who was standing before Jesus that day. It called upon those in the crowd that day. It called upon those that the Gospel of Luke was first put to scroll for. And it calls on us to consider how what we do with things like money demonstrate our understanding of the character and nature of God. Do we understand where things like money and our other tangible blessings come from? Are we grateful to God for them? Do we behave as if the dollar in our pocket right now is the last dollar we will ever have? Do we live as if the dollar in our pocket right now is only to be spent on or saved for ourselves? God declaring that man a fool in that parable is just the tip of the dark consequences that we see. In that story, God goes on to state that the man's life would end that night, and then what good would all of that harvest do him? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. That's how Jesus concludes the parable. So it is for those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. He says that, and it challenges us who do not want to be called fools, or worse, to ask ourselves, what is it that we need to do to be rich towards God? Now, today's passage may not be exactly clear about that in and of itself, but the things that we have been hearing, if you've been here in church over the last few weeks, and what we will hear next week as well, that is where we can see what it means to be rich towards God. We learned from the parable of the Good Samaritan that using our resources to help our neighbor, a very broadly defined word, is being rich towards God. We learned from the story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, drinking in his words, that listening intentionally to Jesus is being rich towards God. We learned from what Jesus taught his disciples about prayer that trusting God to provide good gifts for us, the children that he loves, that's being rich towards God. In short, learning and emulating the very nature and character of God as we see it in Jesus, my brothers and sisters, that is what being rich towards God is. The man who came to Jesus with the inheritance problem and the man in the parable, they both had perspective problems. They had difficulty perceiving who was to be thanked, and they had difficulty perceiving those who could be helped, in that they really weren't thinking about anyone except themselves. Now, I hope that all of us who are gathered here this morning do not have difficulty perceiving that God is to be given thanks for our good blessings. That's part of why we gather here in worship. But I think that we often share with these men that difficulty in perceiving who it is that our blessings might be able to help. As I mentioned in the announcements, over the last few weeks, Pastor Arthur, Pastor Reed, lay leader Liz Walker, and myself have been having these listening sessions on Sundays and Wednesdays. We've asked members of the congregation to come and share their hopes and dreams for the church. And in order to kind of give some structure to this, Pastor Arthur developed three very straightforward questions for whoever gathers at each one of those sessions. What do you love about this church, and what do you hope for this church? Where do you think we could be healthier, and where do you think we could grow? And lastly, what are new opportunities in the community for us to build relationships? And of those three questions, I am here to tell you that third one is the most difficult one for people to answer. And the answers that we have heard, while they often point to good and meaningful relationships to develop, like relationships within our schools, I'm going to be honest, they don't really seem to be identifying new relationships to develop. The answers that we have heard do not seem to readily identify the groups and the situations in the community that could truly benefit from the love and the care of the members of this church. This is the hard lesson we need to work through together, to take us as individuals and as a church to the next level. Where and how can we best deploy the gifts we have been blessed and entrusted with? Gifts of tangible and intangible nature, money and time and talents, resources and connections and passions. We have so much in our possession, and we give thanks to God for all of us, for all of it. But now, our mission is to do our very best, not to take everything that we have and build bigger barns, but instead to build bigger tables and then invite our neighbors to pull up alongside of us at the feast. That is our challenge. That is our task. That is being rich towards God. That is extra credit. That is the lesson we need to take us to the next level and to bring our community with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We as humans are prone to believing that life is full of scarcity. But that's a very human way of looking at things. Your kingdom is one of abundance. Your kingdom is one in which we are called to trust that you will continue to provide. And so that leaves us asking, whenever we have blessings accumulated, it leaves us to ask, what is it that we are to do with these? Proper stewardship is more than saving up for a rainy day. It's asking, where are you at work, God? Where are you asking us to come alongside? How would you have us spend that which you gave us in the first place? Heavenly Father, help us this week as we go out into our community to have open eyes and ears that we might see and hear the people around us, the people we might be overlooking, that we might see the needs, that we might hear the hurts, and that we might join you in ministry there. Thank you for our blessings. Thank you for showing us how to use them. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.